You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Take one. Knock, knock.
Who dis?
We're Steven and Dana, and we can't believe you found our fucking podcast.
Our podcast.
We're so glad you're listening to it. We would never listen to it.
I don't even want to listen to it to edit it.
I don't even want to wake up in the morning. We're Steven and Dana, and we're in the room.
Happy 4th!
Happy 4th!
Happy first episode!
Happy first episode to you, Stevie Earn.
Hi, we're Steven and Dana. Well, I'm Steven.
And I'm Dana.
Together, we're Steven and Dana.
We're so happy you're joining us. We're so excited to start this with you guys.
Honey, podcasts are hard.
If it's a little clunky or well, I edited it.
It's the first
horribly.
Pancake. It's it the is. First pancake. So bear with us, a couple of pancakes, and then we'll get you some nice silver dollar flapjacks. Dana, like, what's your elevator pitch?
For myself?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so easy. No, I am not famous, so I'm going to introduce myself to you. I am a producer. I am an actor, singer, kind of lady about town. I feel bad that I can't package that for you guys, but...
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a similar boat. I'm an actor that has been in nothing anyone's seen.
That's not true.
That's not true. The back of my head was in Smash season 2.
The front of my head was in Smash season 1.
See, you're so much more famous than I.
I know.
What else do? I'm a freelancer. I personal assist folks in the biz.
He has the most amazing text messages.
I have some really good... texts that will one day be in a book
or on this podcast.
Text from my boss,
no names attached, so you guys can play a little game.
Oh yeah, it'll be like guess who.
Yeah,
perfect.
Anyway, we have a podcast and we have so many exciting guests for you, and they'll be in entertainment, so if you're interested in performing or doing anything behind the scenes, we'll have directors, we'll have casting folks, we'll have press people, and we'll have a lot of performers, and
yeah,
just going to have a little shindig, little soiree every other week.
We're just having a little kiki in the living room.
Yes.
Today's guest is the woman who was my first friend in New York. I moved to New York, and a couple of weeks into living here, I met this woman, Jen Bender, on the street at the Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS flea market. We became instant friends. You'll hear more about it, but we work together at a nonprofit. We've done fashion weeks. We've done, you name something that needed to be put together with not much more than a matchstick and a piece of gum, we've built it.
And she made our podcast sound really professional.
Yeah.
She's a great guest. I think you guys are really going to like her little tidbits.
Her cat Elliot might make a couple of appearances here and there in the background.
Actually, fun fact, this that you're going to be hearing is the second take of our interview because the cat jumped on the keyboard ruined all of the good stuff. So what you're hearing is we're about 2 glasses of wine in.
Yeah, it was red. Yeah, it was raining that day.
Downpour.
Honey.
And our location is in Harlem, just to give you
a little swanky Harlem pad. We hope you enjoy.
And have a happy 4th of July.
Yeah, stay safe.
Grill those hamburgers.
You look like the 4th of July. Makes me want a hot dog real bad.
What is that from?
Legally Blonde 2.
I should know that.
Mm-hmm.
I was just watching that at the wedding that I was at.
We're going to go fight while you listen to Jen Bender. Gentlemen, Jen Bender.
Hello. I liked pretending like I wasn't sitting here for the last 4 minutes while you talked.
Totally.
We're recording in front of a live studio audience.
Uh-huh. Live studio audience being a dishwasher and a paused 13 Reasons Why.
Yes.
Season 1, episode 6.
I'm only in episode 6, so I don't know what Clay did yet.
Honey, I don't even know who Clay is. I haven't started it.
Me neither.
Ooh, girl.
Clay did something. And we're going to find out.
It's always Clay.
It is always Clay.
Do you think he'd do the podcast?
I do. You should ask.
Clay, we're going to tweet you.
Boop, 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 boop. Hi, is Clay there? I don't know his last name. No, just Clay.
We had his phone number.
Hold on, they're looking him up.
I met Jen, first friend in New York. I had lived here 2.5 or 3 weeks and ran into her at the Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS flea market.
That's true. My favorite days of the entire year.
Same.
Oh, honey. You see everyone you've ever known in one day, and then you don't have to have a single social obligation for like 2 months.
That's when so you true. Say people that you've ever known, do you mean like real people or like Bernadette Peters?
Well, in Steven's case, it's both.
It's both, yeah. Broadway.
Yeah, you see your friends, legends. You see people you've worked with, you see people you admire. You see
Broadway stars.
Broadway stars. Last year, Jennifer Holliday was hawking pictures of her, with herself.
Oh, I saw that.
For $25.
Yep, take a picture.
That's
line
a steal.
Her up. Come on.
Susan Blackwell will sell her baked goods.
She comes up to our table, we sell the baked goods, and she comes talks to us. And she interviews us every year about what we're baking.
I love it.
I love her so much. Anyway, met Jen while she was the resident director over at The Lion King on Broadway.
Yep.
Jen.
I've never heard of it.
Who has? Julie who?
Say more or less.
You're excused. Jen's replacing you.
Yep. Bye,
and
Dana.
She's gone.
Oh, thank God she left.
And she's kicking. Yeah.
Oh, wait, she's back.
Shh. Are you still at Lion King?
I am not at the Lion King.
What did you do after Lion King?
Well, I left in 2010, and I was directing some stuff, and then I went on tour with Cirque du Soleil.
So you literally left Africa to join the circus.
I did. I ran away with the circus.
Is there a tent?
There is a tent. So get this. At Cirque du Soleil, there are three types of shows. There are arena shows, which take place in giant arenas and run for about a week each, and then they just move very quickly. They're resident shows, so the shows you see in Vegas, you know, they live in that one theater. There are no other companies. That's just that
I
show is in that theater.
I saw Lanuba in Florida.
Yes, so there's
Orlando.
One in Florida. Yes. Yep,
she
their
used
number.
To babysit me.
Lanuba?
I have her.
Ooh. Lanuba ring?
That's right. Yep, thank you for
great.
That.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So then the final version is the touring shows are in these big blue and yellow tents. And in every city, they get set up a week before, and the whole theater is built inside, and all the seats and all the gyms that everyone works out in, and trampolines and costume racks and all the stuff. And we bring a whole city. So our own generators, you know, the toilets come, the offices are in trailers, like movie trailers, and the whole thing just gets set up. So in any major city, we'd find like sort of an old, I don't want to say an old parking lot, but like some area that was big enough to house this whole situation for like 2 or 3 months.
In New York? Was it on Randall's Island?
Yes. So every year, whatever the new show is, comes through Randall's Island. Yep. Because
I would see those tents.
Yeah.
And be like, one.
Yeah, you can see them like if you're going to the airport.
Yes.
You can look down and say, oh, what's that? It's the circus. Yes. It is the circus.
I like how relevant Dana's question was, because my follow-up question is, does it feel like
what's your favorite
fumigated?
New York City bus?
I really like the M11. Does it feel like you're getting fumigated?
Because you're in a tent?
Yeah, because it's like striped and like it's floor-to-ceiling tent.
Because it's striped?
I don't see the correlation.
Neither do I.
Please expand on that.
I feel like whenever I watch television and someone's getting fumigated, it's in like a red and
in
blue.
In what show?
Desperate Housewives.
What?
When Harriet Harris tries to
love
fumigate Paul Young's house while he's in it.
All right, I'm looking up this episode the moment you leave.
Oh, yeah.
It's the nichiest niche in the world.
Desperate that I know.
Fun fact about Desperate Housewives. Every episode title, is a Stephen Sondheim lyric.
I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, Mark Cherry loves a Sondheim.
Oh, that makes sense.
For his birthday 1 year, like the Hollywood Bowl, it must have been, I don't know, his 12th. They did a whole Wisteria Lane thing, and all the characters said, as their character, what their favorite Sondheim song was.
Oh.
And it all, like, made sense with their relationships in the show.
I like that.
My husband the pig.
Nice. Oh, now I want to binge watch Desperate Housewives.
I just started it again. I'm at season 3.
It's good stuff.
I got the box set with my credit card points once.
Oh.
Many moons ago. I had all these.
Now, see, I don't do the points. I either do the airline miles or the cash back.
Mm.
What do you get with the points?
This was an old credit card, but it was, they have like a point store. You can get cash back. You can buy a computer. You can buy the Desperate Housewives box set. You can buy headphones. You can buy
So do you remember shit. When we were younger and there was a Scholastic Book Club, and if you bought a bunch of stuff, you could get toys? That's what I'm picturing.
I love the book fair.
Yes.
Ooh.
When I think about points, that's what I think about.
Oh, that's amazing.
So the fact that in adulthood you can get Desperate Housewives, that's pretty good.
The best money I never spent. The best
well,
money
spent
I spent
it on something.
Anyway. The best money I ever spent at Baja Fresh.
There you go.
To then watch television.
I like it.
The burrito that keeps on giving.
It's a circle of life. You bought that burrito.
Which brings
and you just
us
brought
back
it full
to
circle of life
mm-hmm.
to your career and what you do.
My
career
question
on Wisteria Lane.
My question is, for The Lion King, you were resident director.
That is true.
Which means, take it away.
Yes. So I would say, resident director maintains the artistic integrity of the show. So we're responsible for everything that happens on stage. So we don't deal with like front of house or raising money or marketing or any of those sort of producerial things. We are responsible for making sure that the show on stage is as good as it was on opening night, or what I believe, better than opening night. Because I think the longer a show runs, the more you learn about it and the more mm-hmm. depth you find. And I think the longer a show runs, the better it should be. Like, because, you know, if you see a first preview, everyone always says, oh, well, it was just the first preview. Oh, it was just the second preview. Well, I feel that way.
It's the 485th preview.
Yeah, I think it should just get better and better and better and better.
I
so
love that.
Yeah, so that's
why I love going to closing nights.
Yeah.
If I can.
Yeah, it just feels like everyone should have been learning over time, like how to do this better, and oh, I didn't realize that lyric meant that, and oh, that lyric also means this and that. But those are the types of actors who don't get tired doing it because every performance they're looking for something new, they're
and you make sure
focus
that they
on
do.
Something new. Yeah, they will often come to me because I'm the resident director at Avenue Q now, and one actress in particular constantly comes to me and says, give me some stuff. Give me some stuff to think about. Because she's always looking.
And she's been there a while.
She's been there a long time, and she's always looking for a new angle, a new thing to think about. And it's fun for me then to think of a thing that is just an interesting take, and it's got to be appropriate.
Sure.
But then it's like I have to dig deeper to go, oh, what is a new thing for that?
Oh,
what is
but
a new
I, but
thing
But I love people
to
like
think
you,
about.
Like having been a performer, just like that person, the director, who's a constant source of inspiration if you have a good one.
Yes. Well, thanks. I love doing it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you were involved with Q back
yeah,
in
from,
the day, too.
Yeah, from the beginning, from our off-Broadway run at the Vineyard. So that was, I think, January 2003.
That's history, girl.
Still going.
It's still kicking.
And see, that's a show where I would say, people say, oh, should I come see Avenue Q? I'm like, yes, it's just as good.
If you haven't seen it, yes!
Oh, I love
and
Avenue
if you've
Q.
Seen it. Also, can we talk Big Little Lies?
Yes. So people kept saying to me, have you seen Big Little Lies? Avenue Q's on. And I thought, oh, they got a mention. So I watched the first episode, and I thought, oh, they got a lot of mentions. And then, of course, the show was great, so I kept watching. Every episode, they're showing...
I mean, spoiler
parts of the
alert,
show?
They do the show, Avenue Q, in
yeah.
Big Little Lies.
Yes. But, I mean, brilliant. It's in every episode, probably, except the last one, because they've already done the show.
I mean, you don't see much of... It's not like you're watching Avenue Q on Big Little Lies, but it's like a lot of behind the scenes. It's a major plot point.
Definitely a major plot point.
My friend Ryan was in the Avenue Q.
Yeah, he's Brian.
O'Connor of Lady Watch.
We need to plug our favorite podcast.
Do you listen to the Lady Watch
podcast?
I don't even know about it. And I listen to a lot of podcasts.
It is the only... Ryan and Jason, I love you so much. It's the only podcast dedicated to women over the age of Celine Dion.
I know, so Ryan. Weird. I don't even know about this podcast, though.
It's incredible.
Oh, you would love
sending
it.
You a link.
You
would do.
Love it.
And I'm not kidding when I say I listen to 3 or 4 hours of podcasts every day.
Oh, great.
So that's a...
You're going to barrel through this.
Bring it on.
Barrel through it. They're fantastic.
What podcast do you think you would ever turn into a musical?
That is a great question. Well, I just finished S-Town, as many people do.
I love...
And those are just such... multifaceted, interesting characters, so I can definitely see that being musical. It's also in the forefront of my brain because it's sort of mm-hmm. it feels like this season's podcast that everyone's talking about.
But it's not just interviews. That was actually a story.
Yeah.
From beginning to end.
Yeah.
And I love that it just doesn't know what it is yet. They know that they're going here for a purpose, but that purpose changes and
it unfolds.
They ebb and flow.
Well, and what I like most about it is
Candor
the
and ebb and flow.
Oh, mm-hmm. the
I was
10
gonna
points.
Say it.
What I like most about it is the makers don't have any kind of commentary. Like, they never go there and say, well, these people in the South. Like, they're just letting this beautiful story of people and relationships unfold.
Oh, yeah, no judgment.
I think
judgment.
It's so great. No judgment, exactly.
It took so many twists and turns I did not see coming.
So I loved that. That's a thing. You know, I'm a massive This American Life fan, as I think most of the world is. You know, in so many episodes, I think, oh, that'd be great. And I know a lot of writer friends of mine who have tried to option particular stories because, you know, they'll hear some 40-minute story that's really compelling and say, that's source material. I want to build on that. I want to find out more about this. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people look to those kind of short stories.
Yeah, looking for material. You've done a lot of shows that started out as films.
Yep.
Then turned into musicals.
True.
So then what's the next fresh new take? Podcast, perhaps.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And also, now you're kind of on the other side of it. You're doing a lot of producing now.
Yep.
So you're... Correct me if I'm wrong. As a director, like, the source material, the things happen, and then they approach you. We have this thing we'd like you to direct it. And now you're seeing the other side where people are trying to... still find their source material and still find their story?
Yeah, so a big part of what we do, I work for the Iraqa group, is, you know, we're constantly reading stories and watching movies and saying, is that something we could develop? Is that an idea? So, yeah, we're always looking for a thing that sort of sparks us, that we think, ooh, there's something in that story. I want to know more about that.
Is there a deal breaker for any, like, if it has these kind of qualities, then it's just like, that's not going to work.
No, I mean, it's just a weird alchemy of, you know, these things together made a thing that I care about. I will say it often feels like something with a female protagonist is a road we want to go down.
Sure.
But, you know, I look at this season's shows and Groundhog Day is a male protagonist and Charlie's two male protagonists. You know, it's, I don't think it's necessarily all women, but, you know. Personally, anytime I can do a story about a woman, I'm on board with that.
And is that for any particular reason? Like, Broadway is mostly women who bring their husbands?
Yeah,
or
I think
why?
The...
Well, no, that's a real question.
No, that's
like,
true.
When I went to go see Rocky, I'm telling you, there were men there who brought their wives.
No, Dana, that's straight up facts. Yes.
Yes.
The majority of ticket buyers are women. Yeah, so I do think there's something to that. That, you know, you have this... primarily, or, you know, slightly majority female ticket buyer audience. So, yeah, I think there is a, not necessarily that it has to be geared toward those women, but I think there's an eye toward, like, making shows that are appealing to, you know, the large group of ticket buyers.
Sure. I want to jump to a segment.
Now make that we've that had leap. A minute. Make that leap.
One of our favorite things to do is ask our guests, what were your first impressions of us? And be honest.
And I love that this is coming at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Usually we do this at the beginning.
We're 15 minutes in.
Yeah. Are we really? I feel like we've been talking for three minutes.
This isn't the end, but I'm saying we usually are like, sit down.
Hi,
what is
I'm
your
Steven.
First impression?
I'm Jen.
Oh, well,
this
that makes
Jen.
More sense.
What do you like about us?
But, I like it.
You know.
What's my first impression?
Yeah.
All right, well, Steven, I've known you for many, many years.
Yeah. I had a Jufro. I was in the closet. I was probably 70 pounds lighter.
And that's not true.
That's a really 100%. Cute picture.
100%. Oh, yeah.
You've got your shaved sides. I saw his real hair the other day, and I thought it was so good.
You have great
it's
hair.
So
that's
good.
That's a well-known fact.
But you know what? I think you're thinking of, like, your hair when it's not shaved. Like, just a lot of hair happening. But, like, with your haircut, ugh. It's so cute, Steven. Continue.
God bless
you. Well, I've known Steven longer. No, since the day I met you, I just thought you were so passionate and smart and such a good heart. And I think you're so just honest and genuine in your love of theater, your love of people. You really love people. Like, that's a really special trait is
just
your integrity around your friends.
Oh, Jen.
And you've known each other 8? How many years have you been
10.
Here?
10 years.
Yeah.
10.
Special.
It's true. And Dana, we just met moments ago.
Hi. Be honest.
Ooh.
Well.
Uh-oh.
Let's be honest.
Hallers, but Ernst.
You have just been a delight. So I want to share with the audience that Dana's been in my apartment for what, like half an hour now?
Uh-huh.
She hasn't broken one thing.
Did you think I was going
She's
to?
Got
well, I didn't know.
Up from the table twice to kick and
she
hasn't broken anything.
No, I'm I'm just saying, I didn't know you, and I thought maybe she'll break things or steal things. I don't know her. I don't know this woman. So, you know, you're just delightful and well-behaved.
The night is young.
It's true. But you know who did break something? Okay.
Who?
Audience. So
spill the tea.
My kitten, Elliot. We were recording earlier, and he walked on Stephen's keyboard.
Yeah, and ruined that whole first part. But
this is take two.
We were also aliens.
Then we learned a little something.
The monitor was on.
So it was actually blessing
the
in
equity monitor. It's always the equity monitor.
It is.
Theater jokes.
As I sip my podcast juice and Dana takes copious notes.
Yep. I don't know what you're writing down, because you could just go back and listen to this.
I'm not going to do that.
You know.
Do you listen
Neither
to yourselves?
Because well,
I'm telling you right now, I will never, ever listen to this.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
we wouldn't
you,
not,
you
not because
you
I don't think you're both phenomenal people, and this is going to be the best
no,
podcast ever.
No, you're
going to
skip
ever.
This episode.
Yeah, I just it's because it's me talking.
I can't handle my voice, and neither can anyone else, which is why we'll probably have actually three listeners. My mom, Denise.
My mom. She calls my mom Denise. You've met my mom.
Yeah, many times. Now, see, when you two interview each other's moms, I will 100% listen to those.
When we get both of them on speakerphone at the same time.
That's a Mother's Day.
Oh,
will
but Mother's
up?
Day is like in 2 weeks.
I know, but we have to get our shit together.
Well, you can record it whenever.
Might be a one-year anniversary.
Might be.
Okay. Squad goals. That's good.
Be so great. What's the next segment?
I do love that. Oh, that's just what that's what I wanted to do right now. What else is on your list?
Oh, now you're looking to me.
Huh, with your file folder.
Oh, you're looking to
your,
me.
Your green
true,
paper.
You're very organized.
This was not supposed to be green.
Okay.
So, we all know...
Pink goes good with green. Continue.
Are you afraid of my Guatemalan-ness? Moving on. We all know that there are seven dwarves.
This is true.
In Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're very well known.
Very well known.
I feel like you're about to ask if they're well-known enough for me to name them.
No.
No. Oh, good,
no.
Good, good.
If you were the eighth dwarf, what would your name be?
That's a much
be?
More interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's
like
already a sleepy, which is a real drag, because I would definitely be sleepy. What about snoozy?
Snoozy.
Which is even
snoozy
better
Kurtz.
Than sleepy. Snoozy Kurtz. That's even better than sleepy because sleepy's unconscious, but snoozy's like I wake up, the sun's coming in, and I go,
and five more
minutes. It's not quite time. I just gotta snooze a bit. Yeah, I'd be snoozy. Snoozy.
I
but,
love that.
But specifically snoozy Kurtz.
Snooze.
Oh, wow, that was a really successful eighth dwarf name.
Okay.
I like that so far we've asked three people what their eighth dwarf name would be, and two of them have started with S's.
Oh, what were they?
Schnappy.
What was
and
what does
Snoozy.
That mean? What is
and
Schna-
the other one was
well, Dylan's was a drunky.
Drunky?
What is Schnappy?
You thought it was gonna be drunky.
I thought it was gonna be drunky
and
he
said
something
it was gonna
else.
Be like wasty. No, shit. Now we're in
Dumpy!
Trouble. Dumpy!
Dumpy!
It was Dumpy.
How could we ever forget Dumpy?
It was our second date. We went to the Dumpling Festival.
Off the rails right now.
You should totally come with us next year.
Dumpling Festival?
Yeah.
I love a dumpling,
and
I love
East
a
Village,
festival.
It's $20, and you get four tastings.
Everything about that I love.
And we decided this, we're going to get a big group, two people per line, and just get all of our tastings
well,
at one
Well, it's by
booth.
Borough. There's Queens, Brooklyn, Staten
right.
Island, if anyone knows.
I think they're the dessert dumpling.
Okay.
Which I could get drunk enough to be interested in trying.
All right, well, I'm in. Count me in.
100%. See you in September.
They're dumplings.
Great.
Mm-hmm. They're dumplings. We're there.
I don't know if this is a segment, but I'd like you to start the timer, Stephen.
2031.
2031. Let's start it whenever she decides her mm-hmm. next thing. But I want you to teach us something in 1 minute.
You know what I'd love to teach you?
Oh, my God.
Everyone's got a one-minute thing.
No, this is going to be really fun because no one but you two can see it.
Yes.
So.
She's folding.
Okay, so she's folding something.
We're going to make an origami crane.
An origami crane?
All right, so.
Does it work? Can it pitch it up?
Yeah, starts with a square.
Did you learn this traveling with the circus?
No, I learned this when I was seven.
We need
fold
to put
in half.
This
on a picture.
Yep. See, I actually really like the thing
Should
I'm teaching you.
Should we be making a video for Instagram because it's 1 minute?
No, I kind of like the audience is just going to have to dream big dreams.
Dream big dreams.
Because, okay, so then you take the two triangles and you fold it into two squares. Just like that. Also, everyone should know I'm making this from the back page of a Master Herald and the Boys playbill that I just grabbed off my dining room table.
Our newest sponsor.
It's a production I saw the other day in Alice's Teacup. It was an immersive production. How great
in
is that?
In Alice's Teacup?
That's right.
So.
It was so great.
Scandalous.
All right. I haven't really been describing this, but it's because... Like, it'd be, you know what would be fun, since the podcast audience can't hear us, if what I was saying was just completely the opposite? If I was like, great, so now
so
we're gonna put some guacamole on top. Now, you're going to take that guacamole.
I can picture my mom like, ooh, I'm going to do Jen Bender's Arts and Craft for a minute.
You're going to mix that guacamole with some
going
laundry
to Chipotle,
detergent.
Getting some guac.
Yep, and now we're going to mix into the laundry detergent and guac. What can we put in there that's fun?
Some podcast juice.
That's fun. All right. Okay. So now we're making like a little wing situation.
I'm obsessed with you.
On the wings of love.
On the wings of love.
Now this is maybe a little bit backwards, only because I started not with a square and just made a kind of
makeshift square. You should start a business of playbill origami.
So this must be so thrilling for all the people at home who are like, I'm just going to believe that it's the thing.
They're going to clap real hard.
They are going to clap real hard. Like,
look at a picture. I'm going to take a picture.
So then you make some little wings, and then you make a little bird face, and then, wait for it, its wings flap.
The wind beneath my crane.
So that's a little origami crane for you. So, audience, I hope you were listening, and now you, too, know how to make a crane. Was everybody listening? Do I need to repeat anything? No, everybody got it.
I'm also not going to lie, when you said crane, I thought, like, a vehicle with an arm that, like, carries things.
Well, I would have done that, but that takes 4 minutes.
Or a Fraser crane. You guys, do you want to pose with that?
Sure. You didn't give me a four-minute option, or I would have made,
Live at the Duplex. You'll build a whole city.
Get it.
Oh, my God.
There you go. So, 1 minute. I just...
That was
really
great.
Didn't
that was
teach you.
Probably a minute.
It was sort of just a fun thing that happened in a minute.
Uh-huh.
So really, if you want to edit that to say, what's something super fun that you can do in 1 minute?
Sure.
That was the thing.
What's your family double dare?
Oh, is that another question?
Did you never watch Family Double Dare?
I don't know what that is.
It was like Family Feud, but physical. There was a red team and a blue team, and they were these families of four or five people, and they would like do physical challenges. Like Legends of the Hidden Temple meets Figure It Out meets Family Feud.
Did they get slimed?
Yes.
Do you want to hear a fun fact?
Have you been slimed?
Yes.
No. My fun fact is that a couple years ago, I directed a production of Grease, and Vince Fontaine was played by Mark Summers.
That's right.
And he's the coolest. The greatest. Right. Greatest
who is,
guy.
I have a question. I'm raising my hand. Who is Mark
and
Summers?
And Dana.
Is he the Slimer guy?
He's the host of Double Dare.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that. Was that a cable thing?
Like, is it?
Do you want to do this? Do we grab a book?
100%, if she's willing and able.
Well, yeah.
I have books.
We want to do, here's the thing.
Yeah,
we want to do a very, very small five to six or 7 minute segment where we, like a two-person scene.
Uh-huh.
And you direct us by saying directy things.
Great. And we're just grabbing like any book?
You have a script?
Do I have a script? Probably.
I mean, preferably there's like, maybe it's a one page, maybe it's a one page.
Oh, this will be fun.
Ooh.
I have a script of fun home.
Maybe we do a goblin.
We're doing a fun home.
We're goblins for the first minute.
Ooh.
You're goblins?
I don't know. I'm just trying to give them.
While she looks for a scene, the worst audition of my entire life was the first time I auditioned for Jen Bender. I just remembered this.
Wait, what?
It was for these productions of Grease and Rent that she did. Went in, and I did, I'm not even going to say rookie mistake because I knew better, but did it anyway, and I went in with a song, and I changed the key without ever really playing it, like I played it through my computer and was like, oh, I got this. Sounds real different on a piano. I must have been 20 years old, and I'd already gone through a couple of dance calls,
And they're like, okay, sing for us. And I just could not find my starting note.
Pick a note.
Couldn't pick one.
So you know what?
So I picked four.
Yes.
You were committed.
I picked them all. I finished all 16 bars. I wasted everyone's time. And then I left the room and went and threw up in a trash can.
You didn't.
Sure did.
And you looked so snatched.
Uh-huh.
Should we do a scene?
Great.
Okay.
Should we switch so we can read
okay,
together?
And I'm going to mix this up a little bit.
Okay.
So for the podcast audience, I just went to my bookshelf, and I do have a lot of scripts because I'm a director, and the first one I saw was Fun Home, which I got as a gift
which
from.
Which is relevant, which is touring with Equity's president and friend of the podcast.
Miss Kate Schindel. All right, so first of all, I'm going to mix it up. We're going to be, very modern.
Yeah.
And... So Stephen is going to be medium Allison, and Dana's going to be Bruce, because we're mixing it up with genders and stuff.
Is Bruce the dad?
He is.
Yes, blind casting.
Blind casting.
And I'm medium Allison.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because small Allison was too on the nose, but medium feels good for you.
Oh, yeah. I'll change my major.
So I literally opened this up to the first sort of two-person-ish
moment.
Looking scene I found, and this is right here.
So should we do like a cold read and then you?
Yeah, let's do a cold
us?
Read. All right, so we're gonna start right here with hello, and we are gonna go through medium Allison exits. And I'm gonna give you a phone ring because if we were in rehearsal, that's what I'd do.
You're so good.
You ready?
Oh, great.
Yeah.
We're just gonna read it out. Yeah, so you can just read through. I would say you don't have to really focus on big choices this time around. You just like,
okay, medium choices.
Get one under your belt. Yeah, medium Allison choices. There you go. All right.
T-shirt.
Here we go.
Oh, hashtag.
Phone rings. Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
Hello?
Yes, I'd like to speak to Allison Bechtel, the college student.
Hi, Dad.
So, how's it going? How are your classes? How's your dorm? How's the food?
I'm getting used to it.
A little homesick?
No, it's not that. I just... stupid stuff. In modern classics today, the professor told us that Jake's renewal in Spain in The Sun Also Rises is really an allusion to Jungian rebirth.
What?
I almost screamed, that's bullshit.
That's bullshit! Jake's not a symbol, he's Hemingway. That book is a Roman... what?
Romana Clef.
Thank you. Romana Clef.
I know. And at dining yesterday, I mentioned that my family runs a funeral home, and everyone dropped their forks and stared at me like I was Norman Bates.
Typical.
I probably just need to find the right people. There must be some people here who aren't total idiots.
Or maybe not. One surprising thing you learn when you go away to college, people just aren't as smart as you want them to be. Trust your instincts, kid. You don't need to twist yourself into knots trying to impress people who are not worthy of you. Got it?
Got it. Thanks, Dad.
Right, good.
We can stop right, there. That's actually right. A good one page.
Great.
Cut. All right, Dana is pacing. Are you okay? You're just getting
into
your body?
Yeah, no, I'm getting into my character.
You know what's crazy for those listening? When she walked in, she just looked like, a sensible, attractive woman. And somehow you have transformed into a middle-aged man.
Into a Bruce Jenn.
Deep bow.
Sure.
A Bruce Jenn Bender.
All right, now how much time are we taking with this?
Give us some notes.
I'm going to give you some notes. Okay.
Well, three-hour sessions of notes.
We're going to do this one more time, and you can shout out directions at us.
Well, how about I give you some notes now?
Okay.
Because if I'm shouting while you're reading, then we're just yelling at each other.
Great. Whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what I'm going to say about this scene.
I'm ready.
If you've seen the show, and even if you haven't, these are two people who have a very hard time connecting. They have a really hard time finding common ground. But in this scene, beautifully, the thing they have in common is this love of literature and sort of obscure things. So her whole life, she probably grew up and they talked about these old ancient stories. And she went off to college and suddenly the things that she thought were normal aren't. So she's actually, for the first time in her life, probably pretty relieved to talk to Dad because he's familiar and they're talking about things that everyone else thinks are crazy, but... when she talks to him, they actually seem normal. So, where are we? So, like, when she says not that, it's just stupid stuff. Like, this to her is like, I learned that in seventh grade. So, you can throw this away more.
Mm-hmm.
So that when Bruce says what he really does mean,
Like, how could anyone not know what that is? Mm. Meanwhile, Allison's at school with a bunch of, like, yokels who've never heard of this and don't care about this. So this first part, how's it going? How are your classes? That's all kind of awkward because these are two people who don't really know how to talk about each other.
Yeah.
Talk to each other
Dad
until
daughter,
they get to this stuff. So then this sort of ramps up because this is all familiar. So, like, the first third of this is really sort of awkward. We don't know what to say to each other. Mm-hmm. We don't have much common ground. But then when they get into this is just her venting. And then it sort of ramps up into a real talk.
Okay. We hear you and we see you. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it a second time.
I like it.
From the top?
Everyone's patting their heads.
From the top.
And is that a thing? Is that a theater thing?
I feel like it's like a Waiting for Guffman theater thing.
From the top, from one.
Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
Hello?
Yes, I'd like to speak to Allison Bechtel, the college student.
Hi, Dad.
So? How's it going? How are your classes? How's your dorm? How's the food?
I'm getting used to it.
A little homesick?
No, it's not that. It's just stupid stuff. In modern classics today, the professor told us that Jake's renewal in Spain in The Sun Also Rises is really an allusion to Jungian birth.
What?
I almost screamed, that's bullshit.
That's bullshit! Jake's not a symbol, he's Hemingway. That book is a Romana Clef.
I know. And at dining yesterday, I mentioned that my family runs a funeral home and everyone dropped their forks and stared at me like I was Norman Bates.
Typical!
I probably just need to find the right people. There must be some people here who aren't total idiots.
Or maybe not. One surprising thing you learn when you go away to college, people just aren't as smart as you want them to be. Trust your instincts, kid. You don't need to twist yourself in knots trying to impress people who are not worthy of you. Got it?
Got it. Thanks, Dad.
And they've bonded. That was really nice.
And then they make out.
I just ruined it, didn't I?
You sure did,
Blanche.
Well,
hey, I hope Lisa Kron and Sam Gold thought that was cool because I saw that play many years ago.
I hope we didn't just infringe all the copyright. We're not making money. Great.
Copyright?
I mean, we did have that set piece that just came up from my living room floor, but I think that was just my own thing. That's just what happens.
So that's
in
how
apartment
the padding was in the elevator.
Yep.
Got it.
Because there's that trap room under stairs, under the floor. They don't want you to run into it.
Trap room.
In the trap room
trap
with Stephen
room.
And David.
Yes!
So many ways to use that title. That was a fun exercise. Now I want to reread the whole thing.
Right.
So
I felt so directed.
Well, good. My work here is done.
You're like the Google Maps of literature and plays.
That was really good for like a cold read slash next read.
Sure.
Imagine if
it's
we'd
like
had four
chilly
reads.
Read.
A cold
imagine
read
if there was
like a lukewarm read.
Imagine if there was staging. Imagine if you were age appropriate to those two roles.
Gender appropriate.
I like that you're both right in the middle of like those roles should be 10 years on either side of you, or like actually quite
completely
a bit more.
Inappropriate.
Sure.
That's good. That's
I'd
how you know
to
it's real
acting. Dad in that in
like an actual lesbian.
10 years.
An actual
lesbian.
I would put money that I'm more of a lesbian
yeah.
than I am a gay man.
Yeah, I would too.
100%.
100%.
Bonding.
Come on. I think I was at my most lesbian when Jen and I worked on a Fashion Week event together, and we built a miniature golf course in
so
Soho.
Great.
It was fantastic.
What?
It was great.
I need backstory.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a company called Refinery29 that's like style influencers. Yes. And taste makers.
This is what, 3 years ago now?
Yeah.
Four?
And they hired a team to build an installation in a loft in Soho, and they did a miniature golf course, and every one of the 9 holes was an homage to a New York fashion designer. So there was a DKNY hole. And there were lots of other holes. And they all were done, like, in the spirit of their designer.
I love a DKNY hole.
Also, they weren't just, like, a putt-putt thing where you'd hit the ball and it would go in a straight line. Like,
right.
These had...
There was a windmill
yeah,
one.
Yeah, so it would go up a little thing and down a little slide, and then it could come out two possible places.
And this is Monday
places.
Through Friday. Monday, we showed up to an empty space. Friday, we left an empty space.
Yeah, the whole thing was built.
7 parties happened.
It was a lot. So we had a staff of, because it was a golf course, people who were caddies and you know, like from someone who'd work casting. in the pro shop and all of that. Yeah. So there was, you know,
temp
there,
jobs
there
for
were people
days
around
for that.
It was, you know, call friends.
We'd show up at what, 7 a.m. with a couple of boxes of Dunkin' Donuts coffee and leave at midnight one.
Yep. And it was really fun.
It was really fun. Gwen Stefani came to the opening night.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
And so we're on headset, and we only had vodka, right? Because that was our sponsor.
I think so.
I think we only had vodka, and that was our sponsor.
Yeah, I think we had a vodka sponsor who showed up with like 6 trucks of vodka.
Yikes.
Nailing it. And we ended up sending one of our caddies to like get some white wine. Because Gwen likes white wine. And we didn't have any, and we wanted to have some for her.
Sure.
And it was so movie because the person, like, they ran and they got the wine, and as she was showing up, like going down the stairs, they were running in with the cold bottle from the fridge and saved the fucking day.
Yep.
It was incredible.
The things we do for celebrities.
It was incredible.
Now, I want to point out that was not a name droppy story because you were talking about the thing, and then you were talking about a memory of the thing that included Gwen Stefani.
Thank you.
I mean, you can't talk about Fashion Week and not drop a nerve.
It's Come Fashion on. Week.
It's not a bunch of nobodies.
Parties. My job, most of those parties, by the end of it, because I was so tired, it was to like keep the refreshment stand happening.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. I just had that. I literally had plastic buckets and like a Cheer Up Charlie wooden spoon moment. And I would just make like ye olde country time lemonade and powdered iced tea, like in a
bucket.
That's exactly what
he's doing.
And
like
then
a
I would send
cauldron.
My friend Doug, he's this big. I'm holding out my pinky, walking with this giant 10 pounds of lemonade, and he just like pour it in.
I just want to say, just because it's Fashion Week doesn't mean it's all fancy.
Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, it is. It is real life.
And then our party was the last one. It was like the Refinery 29 offices and anybody who helped. And we got to finally play the course. I was like, I don't know if I can play all these holes. I got to sit down.
Yeah.
And then we showed up the next day and tore it all down, returned everything to Crate and Barrel and Muji.
Muji? We got lost with Muji.
There was some framed signage. It's a Japanese store.
I don't know.
You've walked by it on 40th Street 100 times.
Really? Japanese IKEA?
40th, just off 8th.
They have
the
New York,
the New York Times building.
They have a lot of home goods, a lot of kitchenware. Yeah, it's all clear.
I can see
everything
in the store.
Mm-hmm. You can see through everything in the store because it's all made out of plexiglass.
Yes. It's fantastic. Fantastic. Oh, that was a fun time.
That was good.
That was a 90-hour work week.
Yeah. I think I slept for a week after that.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was the best. We have the cutest picture with our glasses. I still have those golf balls.
Me too.
I stole one of each.
Me too.
And I put them in a little vase, and I keep my hairbrushes in that vase.
Yep.
Like any good lesbian.
We made some good merch.
Keeps their hairbrushes with the golf balls.
I think that's how you know. When people say, how did you first know you were gay? Well, I took my hairbrush out of my...
Golf balls,
and I went,
But. Four bars.
Four bars. You're from the Midwest.
I am.
I'm from the Midwest.
How did we not meet before this?
I don't know. Were you at the meetings?
Are you cousins?
At the Midwest meetings.
I had an Amish babysitter.
You did?
I did.
No.
I did.
I didn't know this.
Really?
So how Amish?
What did you learn about the Amish?
The most Amish?
Like
in a
cave?
Amish.
In the Amish suit.
They don't fuck around.
How did he or she get to work?
In a buggy.
No.
Yes.
Horse drawn?
People drawn carry. Buggy.
People drawn, like a rickshaw?
Like horse of a different color?
And they used to steal electronics and put them in the back of the buggy so that their parents wouldn't find them.
No.
Because I used to work with them as well in, like, pepper fields. My godmother owned, like, farm. I worked with all Amish people.
How do you not have better pepper at your house?
And they don't ever scratch your eyeball when harvesting jalapenos.
Good life lesson.
Great.
What's something you can teach us in a minute?
That. You won't see for days. No, I had an Amish babysitter.
Or her super active eye.
Man, super active.
Touché.
And soon. Yeah, anyway. Well, they knew all the songs on the radio.
Because they kept stealing your radio.
Contraband.
And I was like, how do you, like, you shouldn't know anything that's coming out of that box.
Do we record this podcast in contraband? Wow, that was a garage band joke.
Don't do that.
Well, okay.
Don't bump in the air.
I'm glad it was a silent thing so we can just cut it right out.
Yeah.
Yep.
On either end. In post-production.
Do we have anything else?
You tell me.
What's on your list?
I mean...
What's in your green list?
Oh, here's the green list. Where can we find you online? Your company, your Instagram, stuff like that. Anything you want to plug?
Oh, wait.
A project?
Pin in it. I remember something.
What?
You wanted Jen to either teach us or translate for us the beginning of Circle of Life. What it means. What are those words? You
Do
texted
you know?
Me this.
Yeah.
I mean, that was if she didn't have an origami moment.
Project. Oh, I didn't know that that was...
But I can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
So the phrase that gets repeated for almost all of the opening number is Ingunyama Nengwinamabala. And that means, here comes the lion, the leopard, and his spots. And what that imagery means is the lion is the king, and he's wearing a cape made out of leopard spots, and that's how you know he's the king, because he's coming to this processional dressed as a king. So all those lyrics are a little poetic. They're not like what we would think of as musical theater lyrics where, you know, every line is its own line, it's storytelling. It's a lot of very poetic lyrics repeated over and over and over again for effect. But that's the gist of the opening, is it's an announcement that the new king is coming. And we know it's the king because he's wearing the king's attire.
And that explains so much. Because if you look at any, you know, like old... illustration of any fairy tale where there's somebody royal, they're wearing the cape with leopard spots, and that's why.
Now, it's a little weird that a lion would be wearing a leopard skin cape.
So
I don't
have
questions
but
I don't want answers to.
But I try not to get too far down that road and remember
it's
that
hard.
It is a figurative thing. We're gonna have to
maybe it's a person with leopardy. See, that one got a laugh. Go fuck yourself.
Well, anyway,
whatever.
So the whole opening of The Lion King is kind of the equivalent of saying, like, here comes the king, here comes the king, here comes the king.
Here he comes, and then, gah.
And then, there's the king.
There he is.
And
see. Here he is. There's that little doll.
Thank you. I needed that to be clarified.
There you go.
Thank you so
much.
That opening number still makes me weep. I love that they did a 360 on Facebook.
Oh, it's so great.
Forever ago.
Yeah, that was
great.
Have
you never seen it?
I've Drew has the 3D goggles where you can like look all around the stage.
I love that they did that.
I saw that way before they released it.
Yeah. Almost all the African lyrics in the show.
See, that was droppy.
It so was.
That
was droppy. I don't care because I don't
care
about
it. But it was droppy. Is that your dwarf name? Are you
droppy?
Droppy.
Totally.
Oh, I like it.
I'll own it. I don't care.
Great. I saw it.
She owns it. She'll drop it.
Short hair, don't care.
There you go. Now you know things. No, I was going to say all the lyrics, all the African language lyrics in Lion King are almost always like a thought that is repeated or an image that's repeated.
Hibambe! So, that's wrong.
Yeah, so they're more like musical phrases than they are lyrics in the way we think of lyrics.
Sure. One by One might be my favorite track on that album.
One by One is actually a protest song that got sort of reused in Lion King as a celebration. But historically, it's a protest song.
Oh. I didn't know.
Heard
that.
It here first,
yep.
Folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, at your next protest, feel free to chant.
Yeah, it's like
along with the original Broadway cast recording.
Yeah, the original is sort of like One by One, We Will Rise Up Together. But in the way it's presented
that.
In Lion King is like, we're all one people.
I love that.
Yeah, but that's what it means, really.
Lucy Cletto, One by One. Do you remember when we were learning Zulu? Lisa was teaching us. And the Q sound is like a click that I probably can't do accurately.
I'm going to try it closer.
Good girl.
I'm not good at it.
I
have this on video somewhere.
That's why I had to go back to working at Avenue Q. So
and speaking
like,
of Q...
I was like, I can't do those sounds, you guys. I have to go back.
Speaking of Q, we were told to, like, try to think of a word that started with Q, but that was not followed by a U. And
oh God.
There's, like, this dead silence, because who can think of anything other than Scrabble's classic QI? Mm-hmm. And Jen Bender comes up with...
I said, Qdoba.
Qdoba. The
burrito
Chipotle
place.
Competitor that in New York has fallen
noun?
By...
Sure, the question was, Q not followed by U.
Right,
yep.
Okay, no
That's
steps.
That's all we
no
needed.
Steps.
Why not? No one said, there were no rules.
And, I mean, I know that the listeners were like, the story isn't good, but it was one of the funniest things.
You had to be there.
I have to find it. Maybe I can pull the sound bite. From my flip cam of 09.
Yes. Oh, yeah, we used to have those flip cams.
I loved my flip cam.
We just thought those
so
were the
cool.
Things.
You would plug it right into the computer.
Well, now we have a
And then
phone.
They're like, we're discontinuing. It's like, this sucks.
Oh, that just seemed like the coolest thing. I have a little camera I can carry in my hand.
It
and
was,
now that
it was
seems
great
so
for cabarets because it had a little thing for a tripod and you could just sit it there and it recorded more than 5 minutes of video.
Mm-hmm.
The time our phones wouldn't.
But now we live in the future.
Do a whole thing. I believe the flip cams are our future.
Flip them up and let them teach the way.
Mm. And scene.
You the can, menthol cool can. Stylings of can. Stephen and Dana.
Cut that out if you want.
Absolutely. 100% cutting that out.
Absolutely cutting it.
Yeah. But back to your thing, where can we find Jen Bender online? Where can we see your shows?
Well, what's hilarious is that my website is Jen Bender Online.
That's
so you just called it.
Where can we find...
Where can you find Jen Bender online? At JenBenderOnline.com. That's an actual...
Because there's another Jen Bender that stole it.
Oh, there's a Jen Bender who's an equestrian. There's a Jen Bender who's in a German rock band.
I feel like you could be all those Jen Benders.
I actually...
Like in your United States of Tara?
Yeah.
These are all your website.
Yeah.
100%.
I did ride horses for a long time, so that's possible. German rock band, no. Swedish rock band, maybe.
See that girl. Natalie, our correspondent here at In the Room with Stephen and Dana, her NatalieJoyJohnson.com
uh-huh.
was stolen.
What?
I mean, she didn't renew it and somebody else bought it up.
That
and
happens.
I think it's because the joy... The word joy.
Huh.
Because the person who has it now is selling Japanese amulets and pendants off of NatalieJoyJohnson.com. So she is now NatalieJoyJohnson.live.
Okay, well, that's fun. But also, someone should do a little documentary because that's a really crazy story. Because amulets are not like 1 degree from her name.
No.
It's not like I'm Jen Bender and then someone's selling Fenders.
Like Jen Fenders. Is that your Jen Fender bag?
Because then you'd say, oh, Fender Bender. Like, there's a correlation there. Yeah,
sure.
Natalie Joy Johnson to, would you say Japanese?
They're Japanese amulets. The
yeah,
website is in Japanese.
Yep, everything about that's crazy.
She gets royalties.
I love
she
it.
She has to.
And
I love
then,
it. So we looked it up and we found out when it was expiring and we would watch it like down to the hour and they would renew it. It was set up on auto-renew.
Ugh. Mine's on auto-renew.
Next time you're in Japan with the circus,
yeah.
If you can hunt down this amulet peddler.
Well, now I have a mission.
An amulet peddler.
I'm absolutely going to this website. So that's my site.
Jen Bender Online. You're at JenBender76.
Yes.
On Twitter and Instagram.
Yep.
It's the same.
And
love
my kitten is Elliot Kittenface.
Yes, at Elliot Kittenface.
Although, to be honest, you know, posting from his own Instagram. I have this kitten, you guys, who's so cute. That I thought I should post on his own thing so I don't annoy everyone. But then I thought, well, I'm just going to annoy everyone. He's that cute.
Mm-hmm.
So, no.
You can always
just me.
A repost.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Or you can easily find the Christmas tree videos.
That's work.
If you want to watch a cat hang out with a Christmas tree for minutes at a time.
Minutes.
Well, he would climb up, and then he'd climb up through the center and then bat the ball from the inside. So I would just see this little ball going boom, boom, boom. And then he would sort of come shooting out of the tree and knock the bulb down on the ground and then kick it around. And then that just happened for months.
But, like, I get that.
Yeah. How much fun was that?
I get that and need then, to do that.
So the tree was behind this chair over here, and he would leap from the chair onto the top of the tree and just would be up there.
Yes.
He was digging it. He's so much bigger now, though, next year.
It'll be interesting.
What's going to happen? He's going to jump on the tree, and he did not get down once or twice. So now, who knows what's going
to
happen.
He's so adventurous, we had to banish him to the bedroom.
It's true.
Yeah,
so Elliot was running around.
Recording.
Yeah, he stepped on Steven's computer, so now he's hanging out. He has his own bedroom, which sounds fancy, but it's just, there is a second bedroom that he's just, you know.
Would you rather I name drop or give my cat their own bedroom?
And with that,
I think we've had a podcast moment.
I think we have. Thank you so much, Jen Bender.
Thank you.
This was so much fun.
And thank you for the podcast juice.
Anytime.
Yeah.
The podcast is produced by Dana Craig and Stephen Ferrazzi. We want to thank Jesse Wiener for the original music and Joel Wagoner for creating our incredibly stupid theme song.
The Sexy Yet Tasteful photo shoot was hosted by our dear friend Kevin Thomas Garcia. We want to know who you are. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at In The Room Pod. Like us on Facebook, In The Room with Stephen and Dana. If you'd like to be featured on the podcast or have thoughts, feelings, impressions, and or concerns, email us at intheroompod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, rate and review, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you next Tuesday.
And remember to always podcast like no one is listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.